This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in to the Autzen Audibles podcast. I'm Matt Preem, Eric Scope with Jared Mack on the show. And we've got a guest as well, the man Steve Wiltfong, Director of Recruiting for 24/7 Sports. Steve, thanks for coming on the show. Really excited to have you on. Talk some football recruiting.
Absolutely. Good morning, fellas.
So let's dive right into where you were just most recently at, in Southern California for the Elite 11 finals. Dante Moore is someone that you were ahead of the industry and reporting that Oregon was a serious player here. He performed really well there. Can you just maybe give us your synopsis of just what he did real briefly, and just his rise maybe from Vegas to the Vegas event to now at Elite 11. It feels like his stock is maybe going up, if that's even possible.
Well, Greg Biggins and Chris Singletary, our colleagues on the 24/7 Sports national team, they led the charge on ranking the quarterbacks for us at that event. And Dante Moore was the number one guy for them, the alpha dog of the camp all 3 days. I believe he was the top overall performer. I mean, look, he's got a big arm. He's accurate with the football. There's a lot of juice with the way he plays the game. He's an exciting player. You know, that just seems like he's having a lot of fun when he's out there competing. I got a chance to see him in the fall. His team lost a very tough game on the road to one of Indianapolis area's best teams. But he threw for like over 400 yards and 5 or 6 touchdowns in that game, including one with 30 seconds left that looked like the game winner before a short kick and a Hail Mary beat him. But, you know, he had a tremendous junior year. I think 40 touchdown passes, just 3 interceptions, won a state championship inside Ford Field where the Lions play. He led his King team to the state championship game as a freshman. So he's going to be a 4-year starter. He's played a lot of varsity snaps. He's played in a lot of big games. He's competed on a lot of big stages. I mean, he took at the recent overtime OT7 event in Las Vegas. He led Cam Newton's team to the final of that one where they lost to South Florida Express. But he was excellent in that setting, excellent at the Elite 11 finals. And I think just kind of what defines him is he sees the field well. He's smart. He knows where to go with the football. He's accurate with the football. He can make throws to all 3 levels of the field. He's confident. You know, he drives the ball in there has a lot of traits. But then most important with Dante Moore are the intangibles. 4.0 kid this past semester, and he really cares about other people. You know, he's just a good young man. Everything, you know, it's not about Dante Moore anywhere he goes. He is not a self-loathing guy. You know, it's not the Dante Moore show. Even when he commits, when Dante Moore goes to announce his commitment, he's going to share that moment with his teammates. I think they're all going to commit on the same day. That's not going to just be Dante Moore commitment day. I think it'll be a Detroit King commitment day. You know, it's just that's just the way he's wired. And so whoever gets him is going to get a guy that's going to be a great ambassador for their program. Coming into the end of the summer here, you like where Oregon stands. But in the spring, like to where Notre Dame stands, you know, this recruitment's not done. He's never publicly named the leader. You know, I know he also likes Texas A&M. Michigan's still trying to hang around in that one. LSU as well. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes. You know, I like Oregon. He's been there 3 times, has a great relationship with the staff, likes the trajectory of the program, sees the way that Oregon's recruiting and who they're in on. You know, they got a lot going for him. But, you know, I think Texas A&M's an intriguing option for him. He had a great visit there in June as well. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up back on one of these campuses in July, and then we'll see what happens from there, if he's ready to decide or not.
I wanted to ask you, Steve, just we're sticking with the Dante Moore part here, but, you know, he came out on his own dime for unofficially his official to Oregon in April. What would you think was the driving force behind him being there? And I also wanted to ask specifically about his relationship with Richard Young. I know they're not from the same part of the country, but based upon social media, it seems like they're fairly close. Young, obviously being another five-star prospect from Florida running back. But I'm just curious what you can tell us about kind of what your perception was of why Dante decided to come out specifically for that weekend and then maybe the relationship between he and Richard.
Well, I think, you know, it was a big recruiting weekend for Oregon, and Kenny Dillingham and Dan Lanning and company did a good job of getting that on his radar and getting him back out to take another look. I think it shows that he has great interest in Oregon, you know, and so we'll see where that takes him for the rest of the process. But, you know, another good experience out in Eugene. And then, yeah, him and Richard Young, sometime, you know, you see these recruits, you know, kind of click up or buddy up with some guys nationally. And that just happens to be a guy that he's hit it off with. Now, will they go to the same school? They're not a package deal, in my opinion. I just think they're buds. He also formed a great relationship with Carnell Tate, you know, the five-star receiver from IMG Academy out of the Chicagoland. Carnell's committed to Ohio State. So just because Dante's close with Richard Young or Carnell Tate doesn't mean they're going to go to the same school, you know, and it doesn't hurt either. But I kind of still like where Alabama stands for Richard Young. I think Oregon's alive there and certainly made it interesting. And if Dante were to pick Oregon, you know, that could be an inch that helps Oregon in that recruitment, but they're going to make their own decisions and do their own thing.
Steve, just want to thank you for coming on again. I got one more Dante Moore question for you. you know, you've been following Moore for a long time now, as you just mentioned. You talked about how Notre Dame seemed to be the favorite in the spring and how Oregon has kind of ramped it up. Just, you know, how has Oregon been able to ramp it up these last couple of months that, you know, led you to ultimately make a crystal ball prediction for the Ducks?
Well, again, that's just our perception of the recruitment. Talking to various sources, that Notre Dame had the momentum in the spring going into summer, and then that shifted some. Oregon's always been in it for him, though. You know, he had taken two visits prior. You know, he talks to the staff regularly. Him and Kenny Dillingham's relationship go back to when Coach Dillingham was at Florida State. You know, and it's just an easy bond that those guys have. That, and then Oregon has a lot to offer. You know, Oregon's played in the college football playoff. They've played it. When you look at the Pac-12 programs, they've had by far the most success over the last 15 years or so. And they got a lot going for it, facility wise and Nike wise and all of that. You know, there's a lot of reasons to like Oregon. And even when Notre Dame was considered the favorite, it's not like Oregon packed up their stuff and went home and recruited, said, you know, we're not getting him, you know, so they've hung in there and they got some momentum here, but they're not alone. You know, Texas A&M's in there among others.
Steve, we don't really even maybe know this answer yet, but I'm going to ask it anyways. With the news that USC and UCLA are going to the Big Ten, is it even possible this could impact Oregon's recruiting positively, negatively? We don't know yet. I mean, I understand also, like, Oregon could be in the Big Ten in 2 months, like, you know, or plan to go to the Big Ten in 2 months. So right.
Under, like, the current landscape of what it looks like today, without like forecasting where Oregon could be or Notre Dame or where conference realignment could take us beyond today, we know USC and UCLA are out. I think Oregon looks at the Clemson model. Like, Clemson was by far the best team in the ACC, and just do that and you'll make the playoff and compete. Hey guys, I'm so sorry. Can we pause for a minute? I have a kid that's committing here and I need to take it really quick.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
As I was saying about Clemson, when I rudely had to jump off for a minute, so I appreciate your guys' patience here and your edits to this program. Look, Clemson was the dominant team in the ACC, and people would try and hate on them for that. But it didn't matter because they would go to the playoff and win two games, and it would validate how good they were, right? So if you're Oregon and you're looking at the current landscape of the Pac-12, you can still only worry about yourself. So just recruit great players, develop them, kick people's ass in the Pac-12, and get to the playoff and see what happens, you know. And if you have a lot of pro talent and you're doing, you know, it's not like Clemson was going undefeated all those years and making it still, you know. They could, you know, they'd lose the Pit and still get in and prove they deserve to be there, you know. And there's going to be look the Pac-12, and I think it had less than, you know, had a third of the SEC draft picks and less than half of the Big Ten draft, or about half of the Big Ten draft picks in his last draft. So the league is in an interesting phase. But I like the trajectory of Oregon. I like what Coach Cristobal left behind. I like the infusion that Dan Lanning and company have put into the program, and just, you know, go out there and can recruit well and dominate, and you'll still make the playoff and do your thing.
We talk about kind of the changing landscapes here. I just have another one, and this is more specific to recruiting. It's not specific. It is a recruiting question. I just look at the last couple of cycles, and there's been a trend of summer official visitors, even like end of spring official visitors, and obviously moving up the timeline of commitments. And Steve, what was the impetus behind that, Steve? I'm curious nationally. And then Oregon, I think the last two cycles has had a couple dozen of their top prospects visit during the months of May and June, had pretty high success rate in turning those into commitments. Is their approach similar to most nationally? Because it does seem like you look through it and guys are using all five officials sometimes in May and June.
Well, most of the colleges are dictating that because they want their classes signed or they want their classes committed before they go on to fall camp. And with the early signing period, you know, everything got accelerated. I thought originally when they put the early signing period in, it was just an opportunity for kids that knew what they were going to do to sign. And so I didn't think they needed to change the landscape of the other rules, which was official visits starting the first day of your senior year, which basically means that kids couldn't take officials till the fall of their senior year. But with the early signing period being put in place, they also decided to institute schools allowing official visits in the spring and summer. And of course they jumped on it, and it accelerated the process. A lot of kids want to decide before their senior year too, so they can get it out of the way. So it just goes hand in hand. So, you know, it's going to be a busy month for commitments for everybody, not just Oregon. You know, that you're going to look, there's going to be several commitments a day for the next couple of weeks as kids go into their senior year.
Steve, you mentioned towards the end of June that Oregon was in the running for 5-star David Hicks, and they've had plenty of other edge rushers on campus like Mateo Younglele or Samuel Mpemba. Just what is the recruiting perspective from Oregon at the edge position, and how they can kind of justify with a couple of players who could potentially be leaving after the end of the season?
Well, they knocked it out of the park with David, DJ Hicks. I still have my pick on A&M, but Oregon was the first school to really like make me pause on it. Mateo Uagalele is going to go to the end, but Oregon's a finalist. You know, Ducks have been in great shape for Blake Purchase for months. You know, they're battling Florida State for Blake Nicholson. The crystal ball says Oregon, but that, you know, that could still go FSU's way. Oregon had a great visit with Colton Vasek. Will it be enough to get them in the fold? I don't know. You know, time will tell. But they really had a great official visit with him. And then they're in on some offensive linemen, you know, Alani Noah and Micah Banuelos. You know, as I wrote on your site, I think they have a great shot to land those two. They're in it for Samson Okunlola. There's some Miami buzz around that one. They're in it for Miles McVay. You know, so we'll see what happens.
So, Steve, kind of tying with that, what do you feel like is a realistic expectation from a class ranking? Like, is it fair to say, like, hey, it'd be a pretty – they're on track to be a top 10, or it'd be a pretty disappointment if they're not a top 15 team in the country? And I understand that the difference between that is very small, but –
I mean, they're in on enough guys to have a top 10 class. We'll see how it comes together. And that should be the expectation. You know, they did it twice under Mario. I don't think there's any drop off in head coach recruiter from Mario to Lanning. They have different personalities, but, you know, Coach Lanning is a terrific recruiter, helped Georgia build that program into a national title winner. And does it and takes it very serious. So, you know, we'll see how it comes together.
Steve, I think one of the last ones before we let you go here, I'm just kind of curious on your perspective of Oregon staff. I don't think we've had you on since Oregon finalized its staff, and you obviously are really dialed in with some of who these people are in terms of recruiters more so than we are. We're just kind of getting to know them out west. But the perception of a Dan Lanning or a Tosh Lupoy or Kenny Dillingham, and you mentioned him earlier with kind of having a relationship with Dante Moore, I think he, to a lot of Oregon fans, still relatively an unknown just because he's really young and hasn't, I don't think, been a full-time coordinator in terms of devising an offense. But, like, what can you say about this Oregon staff, maybe how it stacks up compared to other staffs out west and maybe nationally?
Well, Kenny Dillingham is one of the best relationship builders in the country. I'd be surprised if there's more coaches that spend more time on the phone or FaceTime or whatever talking to recruits than Coach Dillingham. Obviously, Tosh Lupoy has been considered one of the best recruiters of his era. You're not going to find a better offensive line recruiter than Adrian Clem. There's some that are as good, but it's a short list. He does a terrific job. You know, Junior Adams is another that builds meaningful relationships at the receiver position, and your guys are already starting to see the results there. You know, Coach Demetrius Martin, his reputation is massive too. He's recruited some big time guys throughout the course of his career. Drew Merringer, you know, he did great work at Texas, in my opinion, recruiting receivers and skill players when he was with the Longhorns. I know I didn't mention everybody on the staff, but I mentioned the guys that I'm most familiar with. That's not to say the other guys aren't great recruiters as well. I just don't know their personalities as well.
Steve, thanks a lot for coming on the show. Really appreciate the time. Safe travels back home from Southern California.
Hey, one more thing I wanted to add. I think Oregon went out and hired Marshall Malchow to run the recruiting department.
Yeah.
And there's not a more insightful, organized guy in the industry than him. He's one of the two or three best at what he does. He's elite. He's a forward thinker. He's very organized. He has the respect of the coaches. He's as versatile an off-field recruiting guy as there is in America. And, you know, that was a major coup for Coach Lanning to get him out of Texas A&M and bring him. And those guys have great chemistry from their days working together at Georgia.
Yeah. It's funny you mention him. We've mentioned it off air and on the boards of just the little details that we've noticed, when we see recruiting visit photos or we see guys out on campus, the things that they're doing, Mario was pretty good at that, but it's even gotten better under Marshall with his direction, like you said. So good that you brought him up. Moving forward, Steve, we'd love to have you on closer to National Signing Day. Safe travels home, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you, boys. Enjoy the fireworks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.